Blog Talk Radio.
To give God our absolute and let him know we want to move forward in his grace, move forward in his praise, move forward in his love, move forward in his word. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, family. Thank you so very much for joining me today as we move forward in the word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. Woo! It is a great word this morning. We are going in the fiery furnace today. Hallelujah. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ooh, that's all I can say. Ooh, again. Going in the furnace with these awesome young men. With Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Can we say it again? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the question I ask when I read this word is, would we have that same boldness? We have that same boldness not to bow down. As we see in our day today, folks willing to do anything for celebrities and celebrity reality television, you know, craziness of everything. Would we bow down to a man, to a woman, idol? Because not to do so would be to die. Would you say, for God I live, for God I die? Or would you accept bowing down to an idol? It's just something to think about as we move forward in this word this morning. And our word for today is just coming out of our psalm, and it's just, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever for all of us. We are grateful today because we are God's children, and his mercy endures forever. Let the people of God say, his mercy endures forever. because he woke you up this morning. He gave you a new day. And Jesus is with us. And he walks with us through all of our fiery furnace day moments. Through the fiery furnace. Through the fire, Jesus is with us. And we can do nothing more than give thanks to God. Because God is with us. Did I not throw three in that furnace? But I see four. Why is there four? Because God is with them. It looks like the Son of God. Jesus was with us yesterday, today, and he will be with us forevermore. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word this morning, this mighty, awesome word. Lord God, may this word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we know that you are always with us. You are with us through the fire. You are with us through the storms. You are with us all through our lives, our good, our bad, our ugly. You are always with us. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, all that you do for me. I thank you, God, for your grace. I thank you, God, for your mercy. And I know, Lord God, in my heart that you will provide. You always do. Because I trust in you. Not going to worry. Just going to pray. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor. And I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get in our word. Because I'm just so giddy up for our word today. I am, you know, when I was reading it, I was like, whoo, I got all excited and I'm like, and couldn't hardly go to sleep. And then the next thing I know, I was knocked out. So God gave me complete, I can say this, complete and total rest on last night. And the word of God says this, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. It set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather the staffs, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the staffs, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then our herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Wow. When all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. I call them what? The backstabbing suck-ups. Yes, they were. We're going to keep it real. O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, and harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, enraged, now it's hot. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Daniel just give him a prophecy? Did Daniel tell him that some things was going to happen? But now he's trying to get folks bowing down. And again, probably like some of the same kind of stuff that will happen later in the time of Esther, where it's going to be one of those, well, you know, you ain't heard it from me, but he don't bow down to you. Mordecai don't bow down to you. So you should just get rid of him. You know, sneaky snakes within government trying to get folks bowing down to some getting all about God, but yet want to talk about God. And he already knew that they don't worship his God. He already knows that. But he's going to fall into this trap. So he goes into this rage. I'm so angry. You're not bowing down to me, you Jewish man that I put in charge. Okay. Let's see what happens. She's all mad. All upset. And so this is what it says. I'm going to read verse 13 one more time. And Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this manner. It was bold, wasn't it? And y'all, you want to say, yes, yes. You have the, you know, the, how we have doing football games, that fist bump. Yes, that's what you feel when you read this word. Because these guys did not play. They didn't. They loved God. And they were willing to die for God. They were willing to die for their faith. The question is, are we willing to die for our faith? Or will we fall down before an image? Will we lose our mind for an image? Will we go to jail for a person who could give a care less about any of us? Or care less about you? How many young women are sitting in jail cells today because they went to jail for somebody else's crime? Because he was selling drugs, and you know he's going to catch a case. And he just got out, and He supports your kids, and he does this, and he does that. And so you take the rap, and you never see him again. Because you are the one sitting in jail, and he's free getting another young woman involved in his business to take the fall for him, too. You know, we got to understand, you got to stay up and stand up for what's right. Don't let anybody make themselves a king or a god over you. There's only one God and one king. And it's our Father God and the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We'll sit on the throne one day. It sits on the right hand of our Father God today. And this is what it says. So they stood up to the king. If that is the case, come on now. I'm going to go back. I got to go back to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men, army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Like, true that. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. Told y'all it was exciting. I'm all filled up. I hope y'all filled up too. And he said, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He's going to change his tune now. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the stirrups and ministers, governors, and the key counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's, word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, Now, wait a minute. Folks trying to get you in trouble wind up seeing you promoted because God said so. Come on now. God is in charge of everything. And we give over to God, for he is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Praise be the name of the Lord God, who causes us to triumph in his name. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, God, today for his grace and his mercy. And it goes on to tell us in the word of God, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God had worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they may make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last, Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you except to me. Explain to me the vision of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. He's telling his story, y'all. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the vision of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said to us, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the Holy One, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, give it to whomever he will, and set over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. What a dream. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar,
Do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. Let's tell this is a dream that comes true. That is some crazy stuff. So y'all get ready. I told y'all, Daniel is all that and some. Whew. Okay, deep breaths. Here we go. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, and which was food for the all under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reached to the heavens of your dominion, to the ends of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. O King, this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of the heaven, and seven times will pass over you. So you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and give it to whomever he chooses. God is in charge. And I know I made some folks angry when I said that God chose President Trump. And I made some others angry when I said God chose President Biden. And the reason it came to me was because that's what I was told by God. His word says so. God is in charge of everything. God gives us each our season. 4 years ago was President Trump's season. These 4 years are President Biden's season. And God did it, not us, not you, not me, but God. Yes, he used us to cast votes, but he made those decisions. So all the folks whining and complaining, feel and all of that, get over it. God made that decision. And let it go, especially when you say you love God and you got faith. Let it go. It's done. We're not going to rehash all that foolishness. That's not our place. Someone as great as Nebuchadnezzar, who conquered practically the world that they knew of at that time, God brought him down a peg or two or a big tree to let him know, I'm in charge. Don't let God come into your churches and show you who's in charge, because you're talking a whole bunch of foolishness and not talking God. He's in charge of everything. We got to get politics out of our pulpit. And the he says and the she says and all of that stuff got to go. The Lord God said we got to love the greatest, even with faith, even with hope. The greatest gift is love. Love, and we got to love each other. Nebuchadnezzar tried to put three of God's anointed in a fiery furnace because he had got so high he thought he was God. And what happened? I see the Son of Man, the Son of God, excuse me, in there with him. He done sent angelic hell. So now he's starting to come to the realization, I'm not in charge of anything. And then God gives him a dream to say, okay, now, you thought you could act like you God. Now let me show you something. Let me show you a little something, something. And all his folks couldn't interpret it. But Daniel could interpret. And it was bothering and vexing Daniel's soul because he knew what he was about to tell the king was something else. If somebody told you you was going to run around in the middle of the field with the animals, what would you say? Uh-uh. The devil is a lot. You know how we do. You wouldn't believe it. But God sent this prophet, this mighty man of God. And this is what he tells him. If you got this Bible, we're on page. We're on the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we're on chat on page 1452, and we're in Daniel chapter 4. And it says this, verse 23, verse 26. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and root of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from me, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can resist his hand or say to him, what have you done? Woo, Jesus. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored it to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, all of those whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Better hear it. Those that walk in pride he is able to put down. Don't think you better or bigger or tougher than the Most High God. Because you're not. Nobody is bigger or tougher or better than the Most High God. Did you create the heavens and the earth? Did you create everything therein? Did you create anything without God? And the answer is no. Everything I have, all that I am, God did it. I'm just an empty vessel asking God to use me for his kingdom. Use me for his glory. Use me for his betterment, child of God. And this is what some life lessons from our two chapters that we just read today. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Daniel. And it says in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing the fire. As Nebuchadnezzar stand. Now, you know, he thought he was so tough. But first, let's go back to first life lesson, which is this. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Nebuchadnezzar could not conceive of a deity with the power to frustrate his wishes. Hadn't he already destroyed Jerusalem, where the temple of the Lord had been? God would not let his arrogant challenge stand. He thought he had did something. He thought he had done something. I did it. Oh, yes, I did it. I destroyed Jerusalem. Israel thought they was all that. They was all that. I took them down. So who is they God? God don't have nothing on me. Wrong. And double wrong. Triple wrong. Quadruple wrong. When you get calls that you think you can go into space and you think you got it going on, watch God work. That's all I'm going to say. And this is what it says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego facing the fire. Daniel 3:19-29, and Dr. Stanley says this, as Nebuchadnezzar scanned the horizon, he saw people of many nations and abilities bowing down to the image he had made. He had declared that when the music began, everyone was to fall in worship before the immense gold statue he had set up. As far as he could see, people were obeying. But then the king received word that three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and threatened to throw the three men into a raging furnace. They faced a decision, obey God, and face the fire, pay homage to Nebuchadnezzar, and dishonor God. They chose the former, and God delivered them. God is just as able to deliver you from whatever fire you face. He can help you today, regardless of your struggle, to trust him, for he is able and willing to deliver you. Can the church say amen? Hallelujah. We don't worry. We pray. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servant, who trusted in him. Woo, come on now. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He said, Nebuchadnezzar noticed at least two things about the three Hebrew young men. They served God. They went to work for him. And they trusted God. They placed their lives in his hands. God loves to rescue people like them. And he did. What did he say? I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. All I can say is praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 4, verse 26, life lesson. Your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Heaven rules, which heaven rules. That's the first lesson in politics that any leader ought to learn. God rules in the kingdom of men. Give it to whomever he will and set over it the lowest of men. God is in charge. Can you say it with me? God is in charge. And yes, you may go through hell on earth because of bad leadership. But understand, God is in charge and he's doing it to make you stronger in your faith, to make you stronger in your desire to serve the one high God who can deliver you from all these things that are going on. We got to trust God. Don't worry. Just pray. Because God prayers. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. God opposes human pride wherever he finds it. And he always will. He declares, I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah 13 and 11. Our word for today is coming out of Psalms, and it just fits so much into this Daniel word. And it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. And we just read Psalms chapter 136, verses 1 through 6. I got excited. I was about to go on and read the rest of it because it's just that good. But in other words, our word is our proverb, and it's Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You know, sometimes you can get all bent out of shape, fussing and cussing and saying all kind of things, and don't understand. You are acting foolish. Wisdom comes with reflection and quietly speaking with God. Someone has always got to be hollering and screaming and fussing and cussing. Get a good word in because they're too busy screaming and hollering and fussing and cussing. That all you can do is just be quiet, because you're not going to get a word in edgewise. So you just be quiet and listen, because understanding that God is in charge. You know, we think we are in charge. We think we got it going on. We have nothing going on but our faith in God. That's all we have. And we got to stand on it, stick to it, and believe that there's only one that's in charge, and that is God. God is in charge of everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. The word tells us. And so let's go to see what Apostle Peter is speaking today. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. For these things are yours and abound you, will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We've been cleansed from our old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things through you, though you know and are established in the present. It is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables, which we made known to you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing that this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the first prophecy never came by the will of man. Can you say it with me, Peter? For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't force a prophetic word. You cannot force. Well, we need a prophetic word. If God is not giving it to a prophet, he can't speak something he hasn't been given. And the prophet needs to stand and say, I haven't been given anything. They only speak when they are given a word. And somebody trying to tell you they speak in a prophetic word, when you can look and know in your heart that that is not from God, that he is a prophet liar, and what he's speaking is all flesh. You can know. You already know it. You feel it in the spirit. When you have a spiritual relationship with God, you can feel when somebody is bringing the okey-doke. You can feel when it's not a word from God. You can feel that God has not spoken that, and that the devil truly is a lie. Come on now. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter was there when Jesus was baptized. Peter was there when the voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter was there. Peter knows I'm going to die. I lived for Christ, and I will die for Christ. He is my Savior. And this is what Dr. Stanley says for this word. He says, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Dr. Stanley says there's everything we need to become more like Christ. God has already given us. We do not need some new experience or fresh revelation to help us draw close to God. We simply have to appreciate what he's already given. Jesus wants our spiritual lives to become both lush and fruitful, for he knows that such a fertile life greatly pleases God and gives us enormous satisfaction. How do we become fruitful? By abiding in Christ. I say it again. How do we become fruitful? By abiding in Christ. 2 Peter verse 21. Prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Although the Bible came to us through redeemed men, and therefore displays many of their traits and unique ways of communicating. Yet the message is directly from God and relays exactly what he wanted to say. And I just have to say real quick, y'all, are in a new chapter. And so we got to know what the Bible says. Know your Bible. We are in 2 Peter, and I just started reading and didn't look to see. We had a new book. And so let's see, before we get out of here this morning, what we're going to get out of 2 Peter. And all I can say is a lot. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. 2 Peter. The author was the Apostle Peter. The date was AD, shortly before Peter's execution. In 10 words or less, beware of false teachers within the church. Bam. Just talking about prophet liars. When we get to this book, as we're reading this book, the one thing to get out of 2 Peter, beware of false teachers within the church. That's why we read it ourselves. When you read it yourself, you know when it's being spoken out of context. You know when somebody is taking the word of God and that is not what that word says. That's why you read it yourself. If they read King James, you got a cell phone. Download a Bible app. Gateway is the best Bible app out there. And I tell you something, download King James. So that when they read King James, and you may have a new King James or you may have an NIV, you can read it up, follow it on your phone. Get your Bibles, as many as you can. Get that download so that you can look at it yourself if you have a different version. If they coming out of new King James and you got King James, you should be able to follow it. Just like if you should be able to follow King James out of my new King James that I read. That's why I read New King James and not NIV. NIV is pretty close, too. It gives more of pulls it all together version. Most Sunday school books have King James and NIV in them. But the one thing that we will gain as we read 2 Peter is beware of false teachers within the church. And some details, please. The Christian qualities of faith. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, and love, coupled with a reliance on Scripture, will help the believers avoid false teachings of those who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. I've heard folks and politely turn them off. They say, I'm Jesus. Excuse me. I'm Jesus. No, we are disciples. And yes, sometimes the only Jesus some people may see is you, but you are not Jesus. And you must make sure you say that the Lord that's in me, the Holy Spirit, guides me. It's the Holy Spirit that is in us. And it's the light of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that shows on us when we act like we are men and women of God and followers of Jesus Christ. But nobody is God. There's only one. And there's only one Savior. We are his representatives. But we will never be Jesus. We will not be able to take his place. And as he said in here, it says, will help believers avoid the false teachings of those who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them through. Because you got folks that will say, I bought me through. Jesus didn't do this or Jesus didn't do that. And only God can do this and only God can do that. I believe in God, but there are some that don't believe in Jesus. You know, you hear all these kind of things going on. Run.
pick up your Bible and walk out that door. If you see somebody walk into a pulpit, but holler and scream and hoop and dance and all this stuff, and you are looking and you waiting for a word from God, and no word comes, pick up your Bible and don't come back. Because they don't believe, they're not believing in the word. The word preaches itself. You don't even have to add to it, take away from it. It preaches itself. And this is some quotables that we have from our word for this morning. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Chapter 3, verse 9, which we'll be getting to, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any shall perish, but that all should come to repentance. Unique and unusual about 2 Peter. Peter wrote this letter knowing his death was near. Shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed his. Chapter 1, verse 14. And in King James it says tent. And it goes on to say, so what? And this is the word. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. So I'm looking forward to reading more of 2 Peter. As we move forward in the word, please join me, God willing, on tomorrow as we go into a new month. We will be in Daniel. Psalms 136, we'll be finishing it up, and 2 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. So excited. I'm sorry, just chapter 2 of 2 Peter. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. We have had a great word today. Thank God for all of you. I praise him. I thank him. I give him honor and I give him glory. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our matchless and great Savior, Jesus Christ. We say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. God had mercy on the three Hebrew boys this morning. God had mercy on the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And God has mercy on us. Thanking God again this morning. And before we get out of here, in this last minute or so that we have, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for yesterday was this. Good morning. Everything will not always seem like it's going right, but God has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday. That was yesterday. And on Sunday, I believe we read it, but I'll give it to you again. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16 and 28. Have a wonderful day, family. Have a thankful Tuesday. And just an FYI, today is Giving Tuesday. So if there's any charities that you give to, please give to charities today. Give to those charities that are in need in your community, that are feeding the homeless, that are clothing those that are in need, that are helping others. Please donate today to those charities, because I truly believe in Giving Tuesday and will myself be giving today. So I say to you, please, please, please give today what you can to the ministries that you're working with or working through, and watch God work in your life. Thank you so much, family. As we say, I'm moving forward. It's 8 o'clock and it's a wrap. Thank you, God, for your marvelous word today. We lift up the name of Jesus, thanking Father, thanking Son, thanking Holy Spirit for our great word. And I thank him for all of you. Have a blessed day, family.
It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. So have a blessed day knowing that you are working for God. Take care and be blessed. And God, the Lord's will, join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the Word of God. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.